We had a chance Sunday to catch up with Barry Jurgensen, who is a high school history teacher in Nebraska by trade. But by summer months, he's a walker because he's walking all the way across the state of Iowa into Chicago. And we're going to talk a little bit about why here today. We had a chance to catch up with Barry Sunday at the Hitchcock House in Lewis. He was stopping there for a program as part of his overnight journey. Thanks so much for your time.
Yeah, no problem. It's my pleasure.
Catch us up to speed. You decided to follow this route. Why?
I decided to follow the route of Celia and Eliza because their story really closely parallels with the story of modern-day slavery. Because Eliza and Celia, it is believed that they were used for sexual purposes by their slaveholder. And after their escape, Eliza made her way to Chicago, where she became employed in a brothel. And again, she kind of fell back into that cycle of sexual abuse. And so I thought that their story could become inspirational for many people to realize that basically slavery is still here and that we have to continue fighting it together, everyone. And just as, you know, black and white people and even Indian, John Williamson, who rescued Eliza and Celia, was half Cherokee, half black. And, you know, throughout Eliza and Celia's journey, they had people of both races helping them along the way to achieve their freedom. And again, I think that's inspirational because in order to fight slavery today, we have to, work across racial barriers and religious barriers, and because we have to realize that we are all in the end human beings and we're all equal. And in order to defeat this social injustice, we have to work together.
There are a multitude of stories and a multitude of historical data that's been put together outlining some of the things, kind of like what Eliza and Celia maybe have gone through. But you chose this one, I assume, because it's kind of close to home for you there, too. But kind of like what you just said, because it still translates today?
Yeah, it still translates today because women and young women and young boys and young girls are victims of slavery today in the form of what most people call sex trafficking or sex slavery. And they are coerced or tricked into slavery, into this horrible life. And again, they need someone to help them. And the law's doing their job, the legal system's doing their job to prosecute them. They're doing great. But then what are we doing at the educational standpoint to help them? We're not helpless citizens of this country. We can do something as well. Mm-hmm. And from my standpoint as a teacher, we can take lessons from this and we can practice prevention education, just as the Frederick Douglass Family Initiative does across the country. And we can educate our children to become strong individuals, to continue fighting slavery, and to also prevent themselves from becoming victims of slavery today.
Can you talk a little bit about how this is an extension of what you're doing in the classroom? Because I know you're traveling with some of your students, too.
Yeah, absolutely. This is totally an educational experience because we are, you know, I like teaching history in different ways. I don't like doing what everybody else is doing. And I'm an abstract thinker. And so I try to recreate, you know, history for them or help them kind of live history. And this walk, it's really allowing these students to relive history. And they are learning so much about each county history. They're learning more about Eliza and Celia. They're learning more about the Underground Railroad in Iowa in general. And, you know, this is the best way to learn anything, is to get out of the classroom and to meet people, talk to people, and learn, you know, in a genuine, unrestricted, unstandardized way. And it's kind of an abstract way of learning. And that's why this is just a great experience for any student that joins me.
Sure. Usually when summer vacation rolls around, the last thing a student wants to do is anything directly related to education, but they volunteered.
Yeah, I talked to the student body and I told them why I wanted to do this walk. And it comes down to we watch all of these bad things happening to people on the news. And you see, you know, human trafficking on the news, sex slavery on the news, and, you know, labor slavery. And you see all of this on the news. And we just sit there and we continue our lives. And I told them, we are not helpless. We do not have to rely on other people to solve these problems, because this is a country that's where we are. The country is only here because of us. And so we have to take an active role and help fight these social injustices. And these students, even though this is their summer, and some of them are their summer before college or summer before, you know, boot camp with the Marines, mm-hmm. they're choosing to walk, and that is admirable in itself. And I mean, those students are just really great role models to sacrifice their summer to help fight this social injustice.
Now, you are walking from southeast Nebraska to Chicago on a pre-planned route. Of course, we caught up with you here at the Hitchcock House in Lewis, so you're very early on the journey so far, but you had a chance to stop to be a part of a presentation, to visit, and then help to educate some non-traditional students, should we call them, a few of us older folks. What are you hearing back, though? I know it's early on your journey, but what are you hearing back from folks as you sit down to visit?
I'm hearing a lot, like when I make that comparison of slavery in the past and present, and they're just kind of awestruck. And they're like, wow, I never looked at it like that before. But yeah, you're right. It still exists. And then they start thinking about it even more, and then they start making connections. And so the most important thing is sitting down and having that conversation to help people get to that connection between, you know, slavery past and present. And when I tell them what I'm doing from each community to the next, I mean, the people are just... You know, we meet them with open arms, and a lot of them become almost like family to us. So it is, again, kind of it's like a real Underground Railroad experience. Mm-hmm. So.
Well, and it's interesting, too, although you're documenting the route that was taken by those two ladies, it's interesting how you put that into context for all of humankind, not just our history here in the United States of bringing Africans to the United States largely to work on plantations in the South as slaves, but it's been going on forever of all kinds of peoples and continues today.
Yeah, absolutely. And I like to refer to it as slavery is a part of human history. Mm-hmm. It's not just U.S. history. It's human history. Mm-hmm. And slavery at one time or another has affected everyone. Mm-hmm. And we have to understand that, you know, when the 13th Amendment was passed, it abolished involuntary servitude in the United States, which at that time was majorly, you know, this enslavement of people of African descent. But now slavery has evolved, and it's kind of gone back to ancient times where slavery was kind of a free-for-all. Mm-hmm. And anyone of any sex, race, religious status, social status could become enslaved. And that's what it has become again today. And we have to basically change our mindsets and kind of evolve our way of thinking, just as slavery has evolved, to fight it.
Mm-hmm. And we hear terms like human trafficking these days. You kind of take exception with that.
Yeah, I do. It's so tough for me, because throughout history, these last 100 years, I've been reading, newspapers, I've been reading newspaper articles, and they refer to it as slave trafficking. They refer to it as sex slavery. It seems like slavery, the term, is evolving. And I'm not sure why, because... If we look at the definition of slavery, it's not the enslavement of one race. It's involuntary servitude. It's forcing someone to do something that they don't want to do, whether it be sex or labor or anything else. That is slavery. So I truly do believe that we have to realize that that when people say human trafficking, it is slavery. And I got that from an FBI agent in Omaha that said, this is slavery, in a newspaper. And I truly do believe it. Mm-hmm. You know, the issue we see today is slavery itself.
I know part of what you're doing is fundraising. There's a little bit of money raised along the way, awareness raising, those types of things. Mm-hmm. When all is said and done, when early July hits and you are in Chicago and ready to hop in a car and just drive home, what do you hope ultimately to accomplish with this?
Well, I hope that we can help the Frederick Douglass Family Initiative, because I believe that organization can work with way more students than I can. they work with students across the nation to educate them about slavery and how it has evolved into what we see today. And by donating to them, we're not just helping, you know, a state-by-state basis. We're helping the whole nation kind of evolve this understanding of slavery. And the co-creator, Kenneth Morris Jr., the direct descendant of Frederick Douglass and Booker T. Washington, is just a great example of how we can continue fighting slavery today, and it's with our children. And I think that, along with the legal and the local authorities, we have to all work together, and education is a part of that.
Well, while you're trying to follow the route of Eliza and Celia, you're seeing all in a lot different way than they did, that's for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. The different landscapes, I mean, still beautiful, different people, but it's still really the same, because we're meeting, you know, strangers we've never met before, and they're welcoming us into their homes and feeding us and giving us water. And, you know, we have people that check up on us as we walk, and it's amazing to see the kindness in all of these people in Iowa. Mm-hmm. And it's really overwhelming at times. It's almost like I'm speechless. It's amazing.
When people think about doing something like that, a trek like that, it would just be, wow, that's so difficult to do. Now imagine that you had to do that in the shadows, in the dead of night, always worried about who was lurking and who was stalking you.
Yeah, absolutely. And I hope no one ever has to recreate that feeling. And that's something that we don't get. But there are some nights, our first night where we camped out, where we didn't sleep very much because we kept hearing noises all the time. And we were kind of freaking out. But it was just the wind and animals and whatever. But you know, overall, you know, walking this route, I think, is so much more meaningful, because I'm slowing life down and I'm not letting time dictate what I do. And I'm meeting new people, and I'm learning new things, and I'm seeing Nebraska and Iowa and in Illinois, I'm gonna be seeing it in a totally different way.
Yeah. Well, obviously we can't change history, but we certainly can change the future, and that's what this is all about. Barry, thanks so much for your time. I know you've been meeting with a lot of folks, and I know you're kind of tired too, so appreciate the time you gave us.
Yep, thank you for having me.